throughout the summer, we are inviting people to in our congregation to share how a story has emerged from a song or a scripture that has been a place that has centered their heart and their life over time. So grateful for Dave sharing today a story that emerges from the first letter to the Corinthians. So a few things we know about the Corinthian church, just to set us up for Dave today. One thing we know is that they had a few Jewish believers in Jesus, but it was actually a church that was mostly made up of Gentiles. So unlike many of the other churches that began with people who were learned about Jesus as the Messiah in the synagogue, these new believers in Corinth actually came from pagan culture, and a deeply pagan culture. They didn't have this understanding of the long line of God's faithfulness that's found in the Hebrew scriptures, like their Jewish compatriots. Instead of doing a new thing, Paul wants to remind mostly these pagan, formerly pagan people that God is not upstart. God has actually always acted this way in deliverance and new life. And resurrection is at the heart of this story. Paul mentions that here in 1 Corinthians more than in any other letter. Whatever divisions are occurring in this church, and there are many, they are very heated, what they can be sure of, what they can unite around, is that God has broken the power of sin and death, ushering in a new creation that actually points them to this life that they can share together. And people witnessed it, many people, and they continue to share about the power of resurrection in their lives and in the world of the day, as we do to this day in our own lives. And with that, I invite Dave to share with us his story of how the scripture has emerged in his life.
Thank you. Good morning and happy Father's Day, especially to all you fathers out there in Zoom land. Chris Brown read this scripture to us as our lectionary about 2 months ago, say. And when she did, I was electrified by it. I had never heard the gospel expressed in this way before, and I've been thinking about it ever since then. And so I'll share a couple thoughts with you today. On that day, Melissa preached very beautifully about the resurrection, which is the subject of the chapter. But I'm going to talk about the first part about Christ dying for our sins. But first, let me read what Paul says to the Corinthians again. This is part of what Peter read to us. Thank you, Peter. I want to remind you, my friends, of the good news I preached to you. I passed on to you the important stuff I received, that the Messiah died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he was raised again on the third day. In other words, Paul says, this is the good news in a nutshell. Christ died for our sins. Christ was raised again. So I'd like to share a couple thoughts about the first part of that. Christ died for our sins. The first idea is that this is about freedom. And for this idea, I'll turn to Peter. Peter was one of the eyewitnesses that we read about in the scriptures, right? He accompanied Jesus. He slept with Jesus. He walked around with Jesus. He ate with Jesus. He fled when Jesus was tried before his crucifixion. And later he saw the risen Christ and shared a meal with him. So this is what Jesus says about the death of Christ. When the Messiah suffered, he made no threats, but he entrusted himself to God, the righteous judge. Christ himself carried our sins in his body to the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. It is by his wounds that you have been healed. So according to Peter, you could say Christ didn't just die for our sins, he died with our sins. He carried them in his own body to the cross. Now, as Christians, we talk a lot about bodies, and it's entirely appropriate. Today, we're going to remember the death of Christ, and we'll eat his body and drink his blood together. We also talk bodies because our faith, our way of life, is an embodied way of life. Right? Christ was God incarnate, God in a bod. Okay? So it's entirely appropriate to talk about bodies, and especially now at this point in time, because because of the courageous witness of people with cell phones, people like me who grew up in a largely white world can no longer turn away from the fact that America disrespects black bodies. And so bodies are at the heart of so many things. And let's look again at what Peter says here. He says, Jesus carried our sins in his body to the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. So there are two things going on here. Jesus carried our sins for our freedom. There are two freedoms, actually. There's freedom from sin, and there's freedom unto righteousness going on here, right? So the first part is, because of the death of Christ, sin has lost its sting. Sin can no longer threaten us with death, and sin can no longer bully us in day-to-day life. The other part of this is the unto righteousness part. We are freed unto righteousness. Christ has freed us to a life marked by right relationships with God and with our neighbor. So that's one idea. The second idea I'd like to share with you is about love. And this comes from Paul in his letter to the Romans. Paul says to the Romans, he says, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Another translation says, God has shown us how much he loves us. Christ died for us. So the death of Christ is about freedom, but it's also about love. And today's Father's Day, but I'd like to say a word about my mother, actually. As an adult, after I had lived a fair amount and gone through a good number of ups and downs, it gradually dawned on me, and I named the fact that my mother had always loved me. Somehow I just had never named it, you know? I'd never like said, oh yeah, my mother loved me, and she loved me my whole life and her whole life. And I came to know this by reflecting on what she had done. It wasn't because of what she said. My mother didn't talk a lot about love, and she certainly didn't go around telling me how much she loved me. That just wasn't her thing. But she showed me her love through the way she treated me. And as I looked through my life, I could see it the whole way along. Ups, downs, failures, successes, sins, nonsense, whatever. She always loved me. And so I think God is like my mother. I've come to know that God loves me, not by what he has said about it, but by what he has done. That Christ died for my sins. And in this proof or exhibit of love, I know that God loves me. So as long as I live, no matter what I experience in this life, and as long as I have some capability to know anything, I'll know that God loves me because of what he has done for me. So friends, Jesus died for our sins. This is freedom. This is love. This is life itself. When Paul one time was talking to his pastoral intern or his understudy, Timothy, he said the following. He said, Timothy, this is a super true saying. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And he said, I am chief among them. I am a top-notch sinner, but God has shown mercy to me. Now, it's instructive to notice what he did next. He didn't theologize. He didn't try to figure it out or explain how this happened. He started singing a song. He broke into a doxology and started singing a song of worship to the God who had saved him from a fruitless life unto a life of meaning with the Lord Jesus. And so let's do the same. Let's sing together a song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Because we're on Zoom, I can't hear you sing, so please sing out loud so I won't feel alone here in Zoom land. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flowing gold down. Did at such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.